service of 2021, if you can believe that. We're moving into 2022, and we're going to talk about finishing well today. How do we finish a season well and move on to the next one? You know, these seasons that we have, whether that's, you know, seasons outside, years, all these markers that we have, they help us finish one season and move on to the next. It helps us give us closure to what was and move into what is next. So with that, let me start with a story today from, 60 years ago or so. At 3 p.m. on October 20th, 1968, the marathon for the 19th Olympic Games began. Anyone know where that was held, the 19th Olympics? Mexico City, okay, if you know Mexico, somebody know, all right, excellent, Mexico City, yes, right. 2 hours and 20 minutes into the marathon, amazingly, Mamo Waldi of Ethiopia, he charged across the finish line and won the race, 26.2 miles in 2 hours and 20 minutes. Woo, that's incredible. And he did so finishing just as energetic and full of life as he did when he started, right? Most of us, we wouldn't even finish, but, you know, if we even got close, we'd be just stumbling over the line. But he looked great. By 7 p.m., the Mexico City Olympic Stadium, it was starting to get dark. It cooled down. The last runners were finishing the race, getting through to the first aid stations, going on their way. Thousands of spectators were getting ready to leave. There's only a few left in the stadium. But then there were these police sirens and whistles by the entrance, and so everyone stopped to say, hey, what's going on here? What's happening in the stadium here? And that's where they saw one single individual running in, wearing the colors of Tanzania, limping into the stadium in last place. And his name was John Akwari. He was the last man to finish the marathon in 1968. His leg was bandaged and bloody. He had fallen along the race very early and injured himself pretty severely. But he was limping now into the stadium, the last mile or so of the race. And the crowd that was there stood and applauded as he finished. So when he finished, a reporter came up to him and asked him the obvious question, why didn't you just quit? You're injured really badly. 17 other racers on that day had to retire mid-race, quit mid-race, because they couldn't make it. There was no shame, John Akwari, if you had just retired. And he says, well, his answer was very simple. My country did not send me 7,000 miles to start this race. My country sent me to finish it. Right? You know, sometimes things feel like a marathon. And a year like 2021, it comes to an end this week. It can feel like a marathon ending. And for some of us, we are like Mamo Waldi. We're feeling great. We're finishing this year, 2021, in first place, it feels like. It's been a wonderful year. You can look back and very easily see the way God has blessed you. And it's great. That's awesome. Maybe you got a promotion or you had a child or a grandkid or you had some sort of personal growth in your own life with Jesus this year. And that's awesome. And that's something to give praise and glory to God for 2021. But some of us are also coming across the line limping, spiritually bloodied and bandaged like John Akwari. We're struggling. For whatever reason, this year has been a tough year, 2021. And we're just barely making it into the stadium, making it across the finish line. And we can't wait for 2022 to have a fresh start. And the reality, some of us are probably somewhere in between those two places, either great or hurting or a little bit of both. We've seen some great things from God this year, but also some painful things that we've had to experience this year. So this is the last Sunday, so I want to take some time this morning just to prayerfully consider and think about what it means to finish well. What are some of the things in 2021 that God has spoken to you about this year? What are some of the things that he has brought you through or is still bringing you through or you're anticipating he will bring you through in 2022? And then next week on January 2nd, 2022, we'll start with something new. We'll look in the new year with new things that God is doing. So we're going to look at Philippians 3. I'm going to read from the NLT translation this morning, if you have that. I'm just going to read it as we go through the passage. And it's a passage where Paul has to say things about the world compared to the glory of knowing Jesus. So we're looking at Philippians 3 this morning, the first 11 verses. Let me pray. Gracious God, thank you for allowing us to come to the end of this year. And as we look back and remember our own lives, what you have done, and what you are still doing, help us to to close this year well and look forward to what you are doing in 2022. We just thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul begins Philippians 3, verse 1. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Paul begins the section with a simple command for the people. Rejoice in the Lord. Be joyful in God and find joy in Him alone. And the NLT here starts with that wonderful two words. Whatever happens. Whatever happens. If you have a good day, rejoice in the Lord. If you have a bad day, rejoice in the Lord. If you're sick, rejoice in the Lord. If you're feeling good, rejoice in the Lord. Paul understands day-to-day life can be challenging, but it does not change the ultimate hope that we have in Jesus. So whatever happens, he says, rejoice in the Lord in all things. And then he moves on to a warning in verses 2 and 3. He says, watch out, there's false teachers among you. They're going to keep you from wanting to rejoice in the Lord. But beyond that, they're doing some false teaching. They're mutilating not just the flesh, but the gospel. Paul will say in Galatians that the Spirit begun a work in you, the Holy Spirit begun this work in you. Why are you trying to finish it in the flesh? Why are you trying to finish what the Spirit has begun? That's what these false teachers are trying to do to you, trying to teach you a false teaching to finish what the Spirit has begun. Paul knows these false teachers do a really good job of presenting something that looks just almost correct, but is actually a lie. So, for example, it's Christmas time. Hopefully you got some presents yesterday, I would imagine, right? Or you're going to if you've had a little bit of a delayed Christmas for whatever reason. But, you know, if you have two Christmas presents, both wrapped exactly the same, and one of them has bread that is nourishing and one is full of poison, it can be hard to tell the difference without opening it up and examining what's in there. And these false teachers are like presenting this really appealing wrapped box, but it's full of poison. That's not good for you. It can hurt you. It can harm you. Paul says they are evildoers. They are dogs. They are mutilators. Stay away from them. Find your joy in the Lord. He says, Paul says these false teachers, they boast about themselves. It's all about them and what they're doing and what they're teaching. But Paul has a better thing to boast about. He says, I boast in Christ alone. I boast in Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul says, of all people, he would have the most to boast about if he was going to boast about his earthly circumstances. Here's what he said in verses 4 through 6. He says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. I'm a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. If anyone could boast, it was going to be Paul. He was circumcised on the eighth day, which means as a kid, he was brought up in the community of faith. He made sure he followed the law completely. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, from the most valuable, one of the most famous tribes. He was regarded as a Pharisee. The Pharisees loved the law. And he says, I was a lover of the law. I knew it inside and out. I could recite it to you from the first page to the last. He was a zealot, it says. He had zeal, and he would do harm to others who he thought were not following God's way. And then before the law, he says, he was faultless. You couldn't find any fault in me. You couldn't accuse me of any wrongdoing according to the law. In today's terms, Paul had the best degree from the best school while keeping the best faith and doing all the best things all the time that he thought was right. But, and this is a big but, Paul says in verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. Wow. What a powerful statement. Right? I had all this before me, all this available to me, all the best. But when I put it up into the light of Christ, it fades away. It's just pale nothingness. It's garbage, in fact. It doesn't fulfill me like Christ fulfills me. Paul had power. He had all the power he could want from his position. He had wealth. He had the finances that he needed for anything. He had teaching. He had the best teaching. He sat at the feet of the best teachers. He had knowledge of the word inside and out. He had it memorized, and he had the best faith, he says, But when he encountered God on the road to Damascus, he realized that was all just titles. And it all just paled compared to Jesus. If Paul, who was a man of privilege and education, he didn't find value in these things, then we shouldn't either. For Paul, he understood that he had a great start, but it was more important for him to finish well with Jesus. He had a great start, but finishing well with Jesus is what matters. To shun the earthly status and finish well with Christ is what matters. So as 2021 winds to a close this week, I want to ask us the question, how do we finish well in light of what Paul says in Philippians 3? How do we look back on this year and finish well? And there's three things to consider. I'm going to go through them, and then I'll name them again, 1, 2, 3. And I'm going to encourage you and challenge you to go home this week and just take some time and think about these three questions. You know, this is the week between, like, Christmas and New Year, where, like, you never know what day it is, right? And, like, you don't know what time it is. There's just sports on all the time. It's a fantastic time, right? So take a break. You don't know what time it is anyway. Just take a break during the week. Stop and consider these questions this morning. First, Paul says he only boasts about Christ Jesus. So first thing I want you to do is I want you to think back on 2021. It's been a long year, I know, January to December. A lot has happened. But think about one thing that you can boast in Christ about, something that Jesus has done in your life, in your family's life, in your faith, that you can boast about and say, praise God. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for bringing me through that. Thank you for letting me experience that. Thank you for whatever it might be for you. And then don't keep it to yourself. Boast about it. So call somebody this week. Get some coffee. Get a Zoom call. Do whatever you need. And boast about that with someone. Say, hey, this is what God did in my life, and I want to give him the glory for it. Second, Paul says he considers some of the things he had done garbage, right? So you know, 2021, not every single day was all roses and cheer, right? There were some days that just didn't work out for us. And maybe there were some things that you really strived for in 2021, and then you got them, and you're like, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. This didn't fulfill me as much as I thought. This didn't give me the hope I was looking for. This didn't help me out as much as I thought. And it's okay to acknowledge those things. In fact, it's good to acknowledge those things and say, this isn't what I'm thinking. It was garbage, and I need to let it go and give it to God. So the second thing, after you've given praise to God, look back on 2021. Evaluate what you've been thinking, what you've gone through, the things you've pursued that maybe you acquired, and you realize this isn't what I thought it was going to be. In fact, this is actually kind of garbage compared to knowing Christ. I need to let that go. Give it to God. Say, Lord, help me. Help me let go of this dream that I had, this whatever it was. Let it go so I can pursue you better. And thirdly, Paul says he does all of this so he can know Christ more. And I hope that's each of our hearts, is to know Christ more and to learn more and to love him more. So lastly, for 2022, consider, how do you want to learn? How do you want to know Christ more? How do you want to know Christ more? You don't accidentally fall into knowing Christ more, right? You have to have a plan for how you want to know Christ more. Whether that's you want to get involved with a pod, a small group, or you want to make sure you're in church more often, or whatever it might be. How do you want to know Christ more in 2022? So I encourage you this week, step away for a half hour if you got it, an hour if you really got it. Consider these three things. What do you want to boast about in Jesus Christ from this past year? What has God done in your life? They're like, I want to give God the glory, and I want to tell somebody about it so that we can rejoice together. Second, what was garbage from this last year? What was something you thought would fulfill you that didn't, and you need to let it go? Tell that to somebody too. Say, I'm letting this go. It didn't work out, and I'm going to pursue God this year. And third, how do you want to know Christ more in 2022? What's something that you feel he is calling you to, or some way that you want to intentionally set aside the time to know him more in this coming year? Boasting, what do you want to let go of? And how do you want to know Christ more in 2022? So whatever this year had for you, both the bad and the good, Christ was with you in it. And I want to close this morning in prayer with Philippians 3, 7 through 11. I want to pray it over us. And as we enter back into worship with this next song, that we would sense a closure to this year. I know there's still a few days left, but it's our last Sunday of the year. But a closure to what was, and a looking forward to what is, and what God is doing in us and among us. So let's pray this morning. Lord, whatever were gains to us in 2021, we consider them small compared to knowing you, Lord Jesus. Lord, whatever was hurtful for us in 2021, we let it go. We want to give it to you, knowing that you alone are able to truly heal. We pray that we would gain Christ even more in this coming year. We pray, Lord, that we would be found in him, that our righteousness would not be found in our flesh, but in Christ alone. Lord, help us this week as we come and go and see family and are traveling and coming back, wherever we might find ourselves. Help us to be intentional of taking some time this week to pause, to reflect on the year that was, to consider what you brought us through and give you the glory, to look forward to what was that didn't work out, and to give it to you, and to expectantly, hopefully, intentionally look forward to 2022, that we might be looking for you in our midst, looking to see what you are doing and what you are going to do, and how you are leading us, not only as a church, but as individuals and as families and as households, into what is next. We thank you that you are always with us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.